Okay, I wanted to try something just a little bit different for season three of the podcast. You're listening right now to Grow an Online Business, where we go over all the tips, techniques, and advice you need to grow an online business for yourself. And in season three, I've been toying with the idea of bringing somebody else in, somebody else who's already built a few businesses online and been very successful. And so in the next few episodes, we'll see how it goes. We may even bring him on as a co-host if the first few episodes go well. So let's find out and see exactly how well it goes when we get back. Okay, so like I said, I'm going to be bringing in, we're going to be doing some interviews with CJ Jolliffe. So he owns a number of businesses. In fact, he's getting ready to launch another business that he will be discussing and going over with us in this interview. And this is a pre-recorded interview. As you know, I like to do this web podcast kind of the day of, right? So this is Sunday, and this is when this is going out, when this is being aired. But I did do the interview, full disclosure, on Friday, so 2 days ago. So it is still fairly new. He may not even have his website up yet. I think he said he's a couple of weeks out from actually getting it launched. But you will be able to watch it from its infancy and watch it unfold before you. So without any further ado, let's jump right into the interview. This is between me and CJ Jolliffe sitting out in front of a Starbucks.
There is a method to my madness.
Okay,
There's
that
a,
sounds
I have a
great.
Way of doing everything.
All right.
So, anyway.
So, I will have already introduced you.
Yeah.
And so then we're just going to cut into starting to talk. So, I should start by saying basically thanks for meeting me. So, today.
I think that's the best intro you could possibly have right there. I should start by saying, I don't know.
Thanks for meeting me. Thanks, I guess. I don't know. Let's just jump into it.
Yeah.
Let's not waste any time with formalities. I don't know. I'm not super great at doing the whole interview thing, so feel free to just talk.
Okay.
And go over some stuff. I do have some specific questions that I am interested in finding out about.
Okay.
But I thought today we would talk about the business that you're about to launch.
Yeah.
Because you mentioned before that you have always wanted to do a subscription-based business.
Yeah.
An online subscription base.
Yeah.
There's just, I don't know, there's something about that style of business that seems really, really popular right now.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me personally, because you've told me what your business is, and I am super excited for it to start.
Yeah.
I'm actually already a member of a different subscription-based business that is the exact thing you're doing. Uh-huh. So without further ado, why don't you just tell us what it is you're looking at starting?
Yeah, I was gonna say, I'm happy to talk about specifics. So let's see, the long story short, we're gonna be roasting coffee, which is like a really, like, that's not exciting. I mean, I love coffee, right? But
right.
That's not unique or exciting, but really what makes us different is we're sending coffee every week. Because coffee has a freshness.
Is your microphone on?
Yeah.
Did it fall in your shirt?
Maybe.
I don't see it.
So we'll start the intro again, but I think that intro was really good, and I'm sad that it...
Yeah.
Unless you want to just go with the audio being weird.
Nick, if the audio is too jacked up or whatever, then we'll not do it. But otherwise, I can just apologize, because honestly, I have recorded so many podcasts where I've used the wrong mic. So it's actually recorded my voice on the microphone from the camera on top of the computer instead of my actual microphone. And you know what? Full disclosure, like I think it's more important to get, I don't know, I don't want to be fake and practiced and polished.
Right.
I just want to record real life. Like, that stuff happens in real life. That's what happens. So be it. At least we noticed. right?
Yes.
So hopefully it's a little bit clearer now.
It should be now.
So
yeah.
Anyway,
and I was going to say I can just kind of start over my part because
yeah, I just want all four of the listening audience to know.
Steve and Andy and Dave and Sally.
Thanks so much for putting up with all of the crap I put you through. Anyway, I think we're going to get something out of this. So start from the beginning. Like, what led you to decide to start roasting coffee? Besides the fact that nobody in town is roasting any decent coffee.
Well, I want to be really clear. Our target market is not town. Our target market is a very specific niche.
Okay.
A person that really, really loves coffee enough that they want fresh coffee, not just store-bought coffee. You know, not just people. I mean, these people would be buying whole beans and grinding it themselves.
Right.
But we want to give people access to something that they probably can't get access to in their hometown. So how it came about is actually my son's idea. I'll give him credit. He's 12.
Okay.
And he had this idea for like a name he came up with for a coffee business. And I love subscription models because it's predictability of income, typically predictability of costs. And it's just a lot easier to, you know, to chart out.
And scale it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So so we were actually just thinking about having someone do a private label, like Me Too kind of coffee with a unique name that maybe did something that was... Like,
okay.
We were trying to force the uniqueness, right?
Sure, sure.
The meaningful difference, that you know, the USP, right? So... unique selling proposition for people that don't know that.
Because I was sitting here going,
shaking
the what now?
Yeah. So basically, it just happens that I know someone that I've known for 10 years that has been roasting coffee for 5 years. And I had no clue. And we were talking about it, and it was like, man, I really want to try your coffee. And so I try it, and it's amazing. So now, I mean, he's taught me all this stuff that I didn't know about. And so basically, coffee freshness is a huge thing.
Yes.
You know, right after it roasts, it's about 5 days when it starts to hit the sweet spot of flavor, you know, the fullness of flavor. And it only lasts for until about 2 weeks from the day it was roasted. After that 2 weeks, it becomes the stuff that's, you know,
sold
at
the
store.
Stores.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Which I'm going to be referring to as stale coffee.
Yes.
It's not, but I, you know, to my target audience, that's still coffee.
Yes.
And so that's, you know, kind of the idea. And we're, the way we're doing this, we have to ship it every week. We have to roast and ship every week. We can't do a monthly subscription box. So it's going to cost a little bit more solely because we have to ship 4 to 5 times every month. So
right.
The shipping cost, you know, that's a big, honestly, you know, looking at our costs outside of equipment, but our raw materials cost is going to be really close to like what the shipping cost is. It's kind of crazy.
Right.
And the scary thing in that is that, you know, obviously, you know, prices are always increasing. And it,
right.
You know, I remember when a stamp was less than a quarter. So, but yeah, so that's the idea. So if you live, you know, I mean, even here in town, I don't know that you could actually walk into a place and get coffee that you know was roasted 5 days ago.
No, there's
so,
none.
I've
shopped. I found there's a couple of roasters and they roast once a week. But trying to get a hold of them or even get them to send you the coffee in the allotted amount of time, like you're lucky if you've got 4 days good left.
Right.
In order. So.
So we're going to start with our just minimum viable product, right? So that is going to be a 12-ounce bag of coffee. 12 ounces because it's less than a pound in a box shipped.
Okay.
If it goes over a pound, it...
increases the cost dramatically.
Dramatically, yeah.
Okay.
So eventually, and it's so the name of the business, we actually have the name and everything.
Okay.
It's Roast of the Week. So it will be roastoftheweek.com.
Okay.
We refer to it internally as ROTW because that's less to say.
Roast of the Week, sure.
but basically, you know, we're going to start with just that 12 ounces and it could be medium, it could be light, it could be dark. You don't know. But that's our minimum viable product. our roadmap is already to go into obviously letting users pick their roast.
Sure.
Because I'm a medium roast guy. I like bold. I like blonde and stuff too. I like lighter roasts, but at the same time, like I like a lot of espresso. So medium kind of tends to fit my palate best. And then we'll, you know, also if maybe 12 ounces is too much or not enough for you a week, we're going to have different sizing options. So,
okay.
You know, I can't tell you pricing. I know roughly what our pricing is going to be, but we won't know that for sure until we get everything else in place. So that's the, I guess, scope.
Okay.
We know that our customer is, I don't want to say a coffee aficionado because I don't want to limit it to that, but someone that really enjoys coffee. And I would say the difference, I didn't know this difference until I tasted it, but the difference between fresh roasted coffee and not fresh roasted coffee, like coffee that's, you know, store-bought, is kind of the difference between buying grounded coffee, already ground coffee, and grinding the coffee yourself. That difference in flavor, the fullness of flavor,
right,
that you get from grinding your own beans right then and there and then making the coffee, is about the same again with the fresh roasted coffee. And you would know, obviously, but would you agree with that assessment?
Easily, for sure. Yeah, I without wanting to spend too much time on coffee and more on the
but
business
itself.
We
love coffee, though.
But
right?
No, absolutely. It's until you've experienced it and been walked through the flavor profile so that you recognize what it is you're tasting and why it's so different. If you haven't gone through that, if you haven't done that to yourself, just word to the wise, don't. Because you become spoiled to where all of a sudden coffee doesn't taste good anymore. When you've tasted really good coffee, you no longer need creamer. You no longer need sugar.
Yeah.
In fact, when you have really fresh roasted, really great tasting coffee, it isn't so acidic that it gives you heartburn.
Like right.
You eliminate the heartburn, so you eliminate the need for creamer, which eliminates the need for sugar to make it sweeter because it doesn't have a burnt flavor. Like, honestly, once you drink really good coffee, it sits with you not just on your palate but in your stomach softer and easier.
Absolutely.
It's smoother and it's less harsh on your body. So
it's like a fine leather interior instead of a hard plastic interior on a car.
Yeah, that's a good way of
it's a little less abrasive.
So structure wise, if you're doing a subscription based model, how are you going to keep track of the subscriptions? How are you going to keep track of who ordered what, where you're shipping where? I'm guessing you have a...
Well, this is where I get to cheat. But this is, again, like using the tools that are in your toolbox, you know, using the talents that you have. So I have two partners in this.
Okay.
And we all work together in my other business, Infinity Systems, building websites.
And we'll talk about that in another episode.
But basically, like, we already have our systems in place to utilize. Now, we are going to custom make something to manage subscriptions. But we're using Stripe as our payment method. So Stripe is amazing, Stripe.com.
Okay.
For accepting online payments. I mean, they're easily the industry leader online. There's no monthly fees or anything like that. They just take a, you know, I think 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction. And they work really well with subscriptions. And that's how I landed on Stripe.
Okay.
9 years ago, something like that, 8 years ago. Where like PayPal is terrible for recurring transactions.
Okay.
So if you're my customer and I give you something every month and I, you know, I sign you up, man, I'm telling you what, if it's not 40% of the time that like transactions just fail for no reason, it's at least 20%. And there's no reason. Where Stripe is really, really graceful about how they charge. If a charge doesn't go through, it continues to try it.
Okay.
And then you can set up automatic triggers to, like, you know, if a customer's card doesn't go through, then it triggers and basically sends them an email. Not internally in Stripe, but the nerds, we all get together and we create a thing that automates everything.
Okay.
So automation is a big part of this too. So.
Okay. So for those listening, are you going to offer that template or that structure for a subscription-based model? Let's say that we've got somebody and they're really interested. Maybe they have a product. that they're really interested in pushing out and starting a subscription model for their business. Is this something that they can add to their existing website? Is this something that needs to be a separate website? Or is this something that can be easily done? Or is this hard?
So yes is the answer for all the things. So Infinity Systems, the way we do things, if someone came to us and they had something that they wanted to launch a subscription website, right. We just kind of include that in a monthly fee. It's a flat monthly fee. It starts out and there's a small monthly, a small down payment, like $500 small. And then okay. It's just a predictable, let's say it's, for a subscription store, it could be as low as $199 a month. But everything's we custom make everything for you.
And that's all WordPress?
It is based on WordPress, yeah. And the reason we use WordPress is because it's 35%, at least, it was 35% 2 years ago, of all websites on the internet. So it's a big deal. And why try to fight the tide? Go where people are, right? Go with what's been proven to work. So,
okay.
But we maintain everything, and everything's hands off for our customers.
Okay, perfect. So I was just curious because I do know I'm working with a couple of other companies, so a couple of other people that have their businesses and their business websites on other hosting programs. Like BigCommerce or Shopify or whatever. And those are kind of weird little in-house things. You've got to get a hold of their separate people. Nobody else can touch anything or help you with anything. And you have to use designated plugins or apps, they call them. And you can't use what's widely available on the internet. There's nothing that can just easily, as far as
there's not
websites. Something that could just even be easily created in case you want somebody to create some coding and put it in.
Exactly.
It's nearly impossible. I'm just really frustrated.
Well, you have to look at how many WordPress developers there are out there versus how many Shopify developers there are. I mean, they're out there, but not in the numbers. Again, you go where people are, right?
Right.
And it ends up keeping the cost down. So,
okay.
And you have a better product. So we don't lock people in. We lock people in with our service. So let's say we custom make something and they want to take it, it's their website. It's on WordPress. You can go somewhere else, but you're not going to get the level of service that's all included at a flat rate like what we do. So.
Okay. And I know when we talk about Infinity, because we're going to save Infinity for another day. But I know you've got a lot of things that are already included in the base. A bunch
Absolutely.
Of different apps and plugins and stuff that are typically you have to pay separately for. Those are all included.
Right. We just eat the cost because it's kind of it's just kind of included in the price. Again, you don't have to be surprised when it's, May it's coming up. Oh, we have that $300 plugin renewal this month.
Yes. No, that's super frustrating. And I've had to do those. If you had a piece of advice for somebody else who was looking at starting a subscription-based business, knowing what you know and what you're going through at this exact moment, would you say that, let's just look at it like this. Probably most of my audience is brand new at building an online business. They don't have the website developer in their pocket already.
Right.
How do they keep from getting burned? How do they find someone who can host their site, give them a level of service that is decent? And I know I'm biased, so I would say absolutely call Infinity because it crosses all of those boxes.
Right.
But tell us what those boxes are so that in case they don't decide to go with Infinity and they want to go with another company, what are the boxes that are kind of mandatory that they should be looking for to make sure that they get so that they're getting their money's worth and they can go to sleep at night knowing that their website is being handled?
There's a lot of features that you want, obviously backups, SSL, just stuff that all hosting plans should include.
Okay.
Beyond that, so that's a baseline, right? Beyond the actual features, the little line items that you would see,
right?
24/7 security monitoring and that kind of stuff. I would look personally for experience. And I'm not saying that because I've been building websites since 1997. I'm saying that because I've had so many people come to me that can't get a hold of their web guy.
Okay, like, I was going to tell you, you're saying all this SSL certificates. I know all that shit's, or stuff's important, probably. But I know what's important to me, and that is when my website doesn't do what I think it's supposed to do, I want to reach out to somebody
right.
and know there's somebody there.
Right.
When I reach out to support, I've noticed I get an email back.
Right.
Either that it's fixed or asking me another question. But it's nearly immediately. Like, I don't have to wait a week to get an email. I get an email within, usually within a couple of hours, but yeah. never longer than 24 hours. I've never waited longer than a day to hear something back. And usually it's me reaching back out being like, dude, you fixed it. beforehand. So I would say as a super novice online business builder, having somebody there to answer your question.
Yeah.
Whether it's me doing something wrong or me just misunderstanding something or something actually being wrong with the website, I would say that number one, reach out and contact the person who it is supposedly that's running or hosting or whatever. And if you don't get a hold of that person, if you can't reach a live person, then you're probably with the wrong company.
Yeah, I mean, I think that especially if you're dealing with, you know, what. The typical old school web designer, you know, where it's a teenage kid that lives in his parents' basement, has Cheeto stained fingers. You know,
right.
If you hear back from in 24 hours, that's probably good, you know.
Yeah, that's best case scenario.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong, like, I can tell you, when we go into, you know, more information about Infinite, I can tell you why web designers are hard to get a hold of. Because I've lived that life, you know, for okay. a long time. But, you know, I think in general, if you're trying to start a business, obviously do your research. But I cannot tell you how much I believe in subscriptions. It's so much better. And I've done it. It took me a long time to figure out that subscriptions were the right way to go. I've completely remodeled my life around creating products that are some kind of subscription service.
Right.
So that I know, like, next month how much money I'm going to make.
Okay.
You know, living the entrepreneur life, people say, you know, that an entrepreneur is basically willing to live like most people won't now so that
you can have
one day you'll be able to live how most people can't, right?
Right.
And that's I probably butchered that, but.
Little.
When
we're different than the way I've heard it, different than the way I say it, but absolutely.
So
I think, do you think there's any, let's just jump into it. Do you
yeah.
think there's any business that can't move to a subscription-based model? And the reason I ask that is because I can't think of any. Like, we've kind of talked a little bit on the subscription podcast episode. I think any and every business should be in a subscription base. And let's say you're a plumber. Okay, so you think to yourself, no, a plumber can't be subscription-based.
My plumber
I'll
is.
Be honest with you. I want to pay $29 a month so that I know that if I ever have a drain problem or ever need a sink or fix or a leaky faucet or something, they just come right out and take
yeah.
care of it.
Yeah.
If I'm paying $29 a month and they say, oh, it covers all clogs, all this, all that. Okay, it's kind of like insurance. Everybody's used to paying insurance.
Yeah.
Right? My aunt's got a subscription-based doctor. She pays a monthly
fee. I've seen those, yeah.
Okay, it's not insurance. She's not paying health insurance.
Right.
She pays the doctor. It's like $49 a month. And then you can go to the doctor many times as you want.
Yeah.
And you see the actual doctor. And the reason that he's able to do that, I'm not going to say his name because I don't know if it's legal or not. But
right.
The reason he's able to do that is because he's got enough people paying him $49 a month that he's freed up his time. He's no longer paying a person to do billing. He's not trying to chase down money from insurance companies.
Oh my gosh.
It's yeah. just you automatically pay him the $49 whether you came in to see him or you came in to see him 10 times or you never came in to see him that month.
Yeah.
And you know what? People stop going to the doctor for every little thing because they don't need to anymore because now they can either call and get a hold of the actual doctor and ask him a question and be like, oh, thanks. Email him or go into the office and actually be seen
yeah.
by the actual doctor.
Yeah.
So a subscription-based model, I think, works for everything. I think you just need to think a little bit outside the box. Because I think it's easier on everybody. It's easier for me to pay $29 a month for a plumber than it is one time a year to pay $750 to have them come out and change my faucet.
Yeah, and I think especially things that need like touches, right? So your health, you know, unless you're a super healthy person and you know your body and you never get sick, okay, sure. But like cars need maintenance, right?
Right.
So I'm not a big fan of leases and stuff, but if you ever get a BMW, don't buy it, lease it. Because they're expensive to work on and they break very, very easily.
Right.
You know, and that's kind of how a website is. And it's not a designer's fault.
Right.
It's because the internet is changing every day, every second of every day.
Right.
We don't control what Google does.
You know,
how they update Chrome or how Safari is updated by, you know, Apple. Like, don't get me wrong, some of that stuff there are roadmaps for. And if you're a designer, you can kind of get ahead of it or stay up with it. But, you know, if you just paid for and bought your website, and let's say you spent $20,000 on your website. I've built that website. But the second it's done, you own it, unless you have some kind of care plan.
Right.
And if there's an update that breaks something, which happens all the time, even with static websites that aren't built on WordPress.
Right.
Then you have this expensive website that's broken. You know?
Yes.
So I think that anything that can move into the subscription model, it's better business. It allows you to take better care of your customers.
Yeah, I think it's a win-win.
Absolutely.
Because it's better for the customers to pay a little bit every month than a lot of bit every once in a
right.
while.
Well, it's
better for the company.
Yeah. So, I mean, and full disclosure, 5 years ago, I'll tell you my pricing, what I charged to build websites. It was $1,000 a page. So if you had a 5-page brochure website, it was $5,000. And there might be more stuff that goes into that. You might need help with messaging. You might have needed help with brand positioning. And so it was pretty easy to put together a $20,000-$25,000 proposal for a business. Now, if you're a startup or a mom and pop, how are you going to pull that off?
You're not.
Some really great, this is actually a really great example. Some friends of mine, they do carpet cleaning. And not just carpet cleaning, but like tile restoration, you know, hardwood restoration, that kind of stuff. And I like really wanted to help them out. And I came down, gave them the best deal I could, and they still just could not see spending. I think we got it down to like $3,500, and it just didn't make sense for them.
Right.
This is, you know, years ago, but it was their position, their situation that really started to make me think about everything differently, because it killed me. It tore me up inside where I want to help them, and I know that I can help them.
Right.
But I understand that it's a big chunk, you know? And so, you know, if you really look at it, what we're doing is kind of, it's almost like it's payments. You're it's like a mortgage.
Uh-huh. You're amortizing it.
Amortizing, yes. Sorry.
No, 100%. In fact, I think I used the floor cleaner example in my podcast.
Okay.
Because that's something you don't think about, but two times a year you need someone to come out and shampoo your carpets.
Yeah, or more if you have dogs.
That's true. Or babies.
Yeah.
So, honestly, to come up with $350, $400 to have your house shampooed, if I was even approached by a carpet cleaner, when I called them, they came out and I was like, cool, man, do you got any deals?
Yeah.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, for $20 a month or $29 a month, we come out two times a year, and then you can call us up to twice in between there to spot check.
Tree trimming.
Holy crap. I would pay that hands down.
Yeah. How have you had to pay someone to trim your trees?
Yes, I have had to. Matter of fact,
have you had to get a second mortgage on your house to have them trim your trees? Yeah.
Each tree is like $1,500.
Exactly.
If they charged me, you know, $49 a month, but they came out and kept it trimmed all the time, I never had to actually call them.
Right.
They just swung by every other month and clipped off a few branches.
Right.
Oof, dude, I would pay that in a second.
Or maybe there's one big trimming, you know, once a year, but there is.
They know they're
coming
and they do it.
Every quarter and just see if there's anything. Oh, you know what? Maybe this needs to be cut off now. It might cause some problems. It might fall on the house. And maybe they don't even do anything, but they just come out and take a look and let you know.
Right.
They come out, everything's looking good.
Yep, send somebody by.
And I would be on that subscription, but because I'm not, I will skip a year or two or as long as I can to not have to spend
yes.
the $2,000 or $3,000 to get my trees trimmed. In fact,
and then
my
it's trees worse need to on be the trimmed. Trees.
I'm just going to sell my house. I don't care. Sorry.
Yep. No. I know. I know the feeling. Cool. I appreciate sitting and talking about subscription-based models. I think that is the way business. That is the direction in which all businesses are headed, especially in the next 10 years. I think we're going to see a huge, huge increase in that. And I'm happy to see that you're, A, starting one.
Yeah.
In fact, I want to check in with you from time to time all throughout this season just to make sure, see how it's going. And then we'll have to do a podcast on the launch date when it launches and then let the audience know that that's out there.
Yeah, I'm an open book, so whatever you... Cool. The good and bad, I'm happy to share it all.
Appreciate it. I look forward to talking to you again. Thanks so much for today.
Yeah, no problem.
All right. Well, I hope you all enjoyed that interview as much as I did. Please do drop by the Grow an Online Business group in Facebook and drop us a line. I think I'm going to have him back, and we might even do some Q&As. We might do some other fun things in the group. I think I'm going to ask him to participate there, and I think I did in part of the interview. It may not have played yet. So keep your ears peeled. We will be doing a few more interviews. I think this format is working out for me. I'm liking it, so hopefully you are too. We'll see how this season goes, but until then, please do give us a like and subscribe. Share this podcast with your friends if you don't mind, and then if you like it, then please do give us a review on your favorite streaming platform. All right, until next week, look forward to it and go out there and be successful.